Now, God has been good to us this morning. I'm so excited just to be here. I'm excited about the Ephesians, the study in Ephesians that we're going to be doing. If you want to go on ahead and turn to Ephesians, that'd be great. That'd be greatly appreciated. Ephesians. The letter to the Ephesians. Last week we kind of went through the introduction to the letter of the Ephesians. If you have the book and you want to follow along in this book, to take your notes and different things like that, that'd be you can do so if you'd like. If not, then that's fine as well. But the first week, last week, we went through the intro to the letter to the Ephesians, and basically talked about why it was written, why the book of Ephesians. And I think Ephesians hits on every aspect of our lives. It hits on the practical, it hits on theology, it hits on all those different aspects in which we should be doing, and the purpose of why we are Christians and what we should be doing. So just starting in Ephesians, I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and this is why we are going through the Ephesians. This is kind of why he's even writing to the Ephesians. And Ephesians is kind of one of those key verses, and as we go through this study, I want us to be picking up on key verses, key phrases, key words, so that we can broaden our view of these different things. But Ephesians chapter 4 reads, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love." And this is key right here. This is why he's writing. "Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Being diligent to preserve the unity in the bond of peace. That's huge for any Christian, for every Christian. And one of the things that he's writing in Ephesians, he's writing so that we can preserve this unity through the bond of peace. He wants us to be that. Also, we said that the letter that he's written, that Paul's writing to the Ephesians, is predominant. His audience is predominantly Jewish, Gentile converts. And the reason why I say this, if you go to chapter 3, verse 1, we're just going to lay on this groundwork before we jump into the lesson. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ, Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard the stewardship, the God's grace, which was made to me for you." So he's writing to these Gentile converts, predominantly these Gentile converts, and he's writing to them so that they will know that in Christ Jesus, now we're going back to chapter 1, verse 3, he wants them to know that they have, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." He wants them to know and build this and establish and build this foundation on knowing that we are to be building and preserving this unity in the bond of the Spirit. So basically, the church will stay together, the church will embrace, will be unified, and will grow together in this in the Spirit. And I think that's beautiful of why he's writing, and I think that's a key foundation. That's one of the keys to the foundation of our living in Christ Jesus, is having this foundation, knowing what we're building, and we are knowing what we're preserving, and that is the Spirit and the bond of peace. He wants these Gentile converts to definitely know what they have and what they're doing, and preserving that in the bond of peace. But he also wants them to know that one of the most amazing things that we have access to, is that we are in Christ Jesus. And in Christ Jesus, we have access to every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. If they did not know that, now they do know that. So the church in Ephesus is definitely about to be strengthened by this letter as they're reading through it, and they have the theology and the practical applications of what they're going to be receiving from Paul. So this lesson, I would title it, if I had a title, it would be In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, we have a lot of gifts. We have a lot of spiritual gifts. We have all these every spiritual gift that we can have in Christ Jesus. And the reason why that's important to know is because whenever things get tough in our lives, physically, mentally, and emotionally, we know that spiritually we will be just fine, because we have access to every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place. Amen. That is definitely an amazing thing. So look at chapter 1, verse 1. We're just going to read through to verse 14 so that we can kind of get a grasp of what's going on, so this isn't the first time you've read it. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, only in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace bestowed on us in the beloved. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which was purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on the earth in him. You see that phrase that keeps reoccurring, in him, this is in Christ. We also have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we were the first to hope in Christ would be the praise of his glory, another key phrase. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession. What? For what? To the praise of his glory. And we see this phrase reoccurring, to be the praise of his glory, being the praise of his glory. Where do we find all these blessings? In him, in Christ, in Christ. So that's one of the key words that we're going to be looking at is in the text. In him. So predominantly Gentile converts, when they read verse 3, they know that they have access to everything. Verse 4 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. So what are these Ephesians being built up in? What's the point? What's the purpose? He wants them to be able to preserve the spirit, this unity, and the spirit of the bond of peace. He says it, and he's going to do that. But he also wants us to know, and also these Gentile converts to know, these Christians, he wants them to know that you are to be the praise of God's glory. That is your whole purpose in life. If you don't know what your purpose is, if you've been questioning your purpose, if you've been straying away and don't know what you're supposed to be doing in Christ Jesus, he's given us our purpose right here. He says, your purpose is to be the praise of his glory. Why? Because we are his possession. Verse 34, he says, we are his possession. So therefore, everything that you have, everything that you're about, everything that you're going to need in this life, you have access to, because he's always said you have everything pertaining to the heavenly places. You have all these things. You have all these things. You're to be the praise of his glory, and you're his possession. So what does that all mean? What does that all mean? And how do we do, and what's the thing we must remember about these things, is that this is only found in Christ. So this is a specific purpose, and he's writing to a specific people for that specific purpose, so that they can be the praise of his glory. But now I want us to look at all the different gifts that we have in Christ Jesus. Look at what blessings we have. And I'm going to start in verse 4. Verse 4 says, he chose us. For one, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Well, how does this happen? How did God choose us in him before the foundation of the world? Well, through the plan of salvation. Through the plan of salvation. God didn't, a lot of people may say, God didn't pick and choose, say, you're going to be with me in heaven, and you're not. God didn't do that. However, God does know who's going. He knows the end from the beginning. However, God didn't pick and choose who's going to go and who's not. But what he did choose is the plan of salvation. That makes sense? He chose the plan of salvation, and anyone who wants to partake in Christ Jesus can be a part of that, and that is how the choosing happens. He chose the plan. You decide whether you want to be the chosen or not. And he predestined that before the foundation of the world. How beautiful. Giving us a plan before we were even created. So what blessings do we have? One, he says, verse 4, he chose us in him. Second one, he says, we can be holy and blameless. Holy and blameless before him. And that's what we need for eternal life, is to be blameless before Christ Jesus. Then he says, what other blessings do we have? We have his plan of salvation. What else? He's allowed us to be the praise of his glory. That's amazing. That should change the way that we should live. That should change the way, that should change our outlook on life. It should change the way we view our family, friends, those who are in Christ, even those who are outside of Christ. It should change our view. It should change our view. It should change our lifestyle. If we are going to be the praise of God's glory, think about that. And I want you to think about the way you're living and the way we are living. Again, I'm speaking myself. There are times where I'm not the praise of God's glory. Amen? I'm speaking for, and you speak for yourself, ask a question for yourself. There are moments and there are times where we are not the praise of his glory. What does that mean? It means we have forgotten something. We have forgotten who we belong to. We also forgot the blessings in Christ that we have. We also forgot that who we are possessed by, and we are to be the praise of his glory. And when I'm not the praise of his glory, then whose praise glory am I? The praise of mine and the praise of man. But that is the one thing he's telling us that we are not. And he wants us to be reminded that we are to be God, we are God's possession, and we are to be the praise of his glory. And that's how he's encouraging these Gentile converts that are in Ephesus. What other blessings do we have? He created this administration that begins with Christ and ends with Christ. I think it's beautiful. We have no confusion of where we are to be and where we are going. I'm talking about verse 10. With a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on the earth in him. That's beautiful. He says things begin with Christ, and it's going to end with him. You should never, your purpose in life, the administration of what you're upholding, should never be in question or be confused. You should never be confused, because he says, it begins with Christ and ends with Christ, and that's our life, and that's our purpose. Verse 11 says, also we obtain an inheritance. That's another blessing. We have an inheritance. If that happens, if we are furthering the administration of Christ Jesus, that's the next verse. Verse 11, he says, we have an inheritance. We have our salvation. And not only that, he opens it up to everybody. What other blessings do we have? Look at verse 14. Who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. He's given us the Holy Spirit as a down payment, he says. I'm giving the Holy Spirit to you as a pledge, as a promise, to let you know that you have something greater coming. After this life is over and done with, I've given you the Holy Spirit. After too long, when the time comes, we will be with God. We will be with him, and that will be our inheritance that he has in the saints, in Christ Jesus. Now I want you to turn to, go to chapter 1, verse 21. Chapter 1, verse 21. He says, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. God is, which is his body in the fullness of him who fills all in all. So what is our purpose here? He says, he's done all these things where? In the church. The body. So we have great responsibility in the body of Christ Jesus, he says. Great responsibility. What's our responsibility? Is to be the praise. We have got to express Christ Jesus in its in him. Express Christ Jesus in the purest form. In the purest form as the administrators of God's foundation of his covenant, his love. He put all things in subjection, which is in his body, the fullness of Christ, who fills all in all. And then go over to go back to chapter 4. Verse 2, he says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another, in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the bond of peace. So again, he's telling them, we have a huge duty, huge responsibility, and that is preserving, that is loving, knowing that we're blameless, being encouraging to one another, so that we can be building up this spiritual household in Christ Jesus, so that when the time comes and people need a shelter, people need that love, that kindness, they want to know how they can receive forgiveness. They want to know. They want to know about Christ and what the future has for them. What is my hope? What is my view of life? Well, our view of life is to bring those in Christ Jesus so that we can further administration, grow God's home, the household of Christ, and let people know that this gospel has been open to everybody. I mean, look at that phrase. That phrase back in chapter 1, he says, how are we adopted as sons of Christ Jesus? Or says, what is the we who were the first to hope in Christ? Who is that? He says, we are the ones who were first to hope in Christ. Well, he's talking about the Jews there. Obviously, you have the Jews. They were God's people. They are the first to hope in Christ. And then he goes on and says this. He says, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be the praise of his glory. So he's talking about the Jews. They were the first to hope in Christ. But then he says, verse 13, in him, in Christ, in him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. So what does that mean to you and I? What does that mean to those around? It means that the gospel, or the Jews were once God's people, but now, this is an inclusive religion. Everyone has access to every spiritual blessing if you are in Christ Jesus. Everybody has that. Amen. That's thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. And only in him alone. Because before, we didn't have access to the promises. We were outside of God's grace. Unless everybody in here was already in. Oh, whoa. Let me pause. So, Kyle. Anyway, I got excited right there. I had to pause. But anyway, one of the things that we have to understand is that we weren't included in the gospel in the beginning. We haven't always been. We were once outside of Christ, his grace. But however, now being his possessions, now he's opened it up. Chapter 3, verse 1. He's speaking to the Gentiles. He's opened it up to those who are outside of Christ. And guess what? We now have salvation brought to us. That is amazing. Amen? God has brought us salvation. We have salvation. We have love. We have been adopted. I'm adopted, so that's cool to me. I'm adopted in Christ Jesus. When the world didn't want you, Christ says, you are mine. I'll take you in. I'll show you love. And now all you need to do is bask in my love, be in the grace of God, be a minister of Christ's law and show the affection. Let people know they can be forgiven of their past, be forgiven of their sins. Because God has opened up the grace to everybody.
Amen.
Man, that's some beautiful stuff. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. To the end that we were the first to hope in Christ to be the praise of His glory. Do we always live like we are the praise of His glory? No, we don't. But however, God has said, I have made a way. And that's the beautiful thing. He's made a way through Christ Jesus. And that's the beauty in Christ, that He made a way for you and I to see eternal life with Him forever. And if we can keep that in mind of what of the gift that we could never earn, the gift that we just accept, and then the work that He's done for us by sending Christ Jesus on the cross so that we could have an opportunity at eternal life, that's beautiful. Again, He died as me so that I could live as Him. So when God the Father looks at me, He doesn't see me. He sees Christ Jesus. And that's beautiful. Because if God the Father looks and He sees us, guess what has to be enforced? Punishment. Because we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short. But the beautiful thing about the letter that Paul is writing to the Ephesians is he says, listen, if you will be in Christ, you have access to all the heavenly gifts. You've been forgiven. You can be blameless before God. So when God the Father looks at you, He doesn't see you. He sees Christ Jesus. And we are blameless. We have love. He's given us wisdom. He's given us understanding. And all of this comes through Christ Jesus. Not only did He not love us before, He didn't just love us first. I know we say that a lot. I love God because He first loved me. And yes, He did love us first, but He loved us before He even created us, before we became the reality, before we became flesh. He loved us, it says in verse 4, just as He chose us in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. So before the foundation of the world, He started that process of that love and the way to get back to Him, because we rejected Him. We rejected Him. He says, you know what? These people are going to need a way to get back, because I know they're going to want to come back. And voila, He creates a way through Christ Jesus. That is the message He's sending to these Gentile converts who are at Ephesus and throughout the region. And now these people understand the message that they're receiving, that they are God's possession. As they understand their responsibility, now they're in the southern region of the upper region of Asia. So now, well, today's modern Turkey, but then it's modern Asia. So now they're in this upper region. Now these people have this, they're going to be administering the gospel. So now they're going to be going and telling people about the forgiveness, about the freedom that they can have in Christ, free from shame, free from all guilt, because that's what we live with at times. Amen? Some of us have shame from 10 years ago, yesterday, 30, 40, 50, shame of friends, family, shame of the way we used to live, thinking, how can God ever love me? The things I've done. And sometimes those things haunt you. They haunt me at times. So I know they've got to be haunting some other people. That sin in the past can come back and it haunts. And it says, man, God, I'm not good enough to be with You. And you're right, but that's, and you're right. We're not good enough to be with the Father. However, because we are in Christ, He doesn't see us. We've crucified ourselves. And we are in Christ Jesus now. Amen. And that's what is, and that's the beauty of the gospel. That's the beauty of the message that we have today. We can get rid of the guilt and the shame. We are liberated in Christ Jesus alone. I can't liberate you. I can't give you that spiritual freedom. But God can. I'm in the same boat as everybody else. We're all in the same boat. whether you're a murderer, whether you're a thief, whether you're a homosexual, whether you're a liar, whether you're whatever it is, an adulterer, adulteress, whatever you are, we've all fallen short. We all got sin and shame, but we are all in the same boat, and that is in need of a Savior and the blood of Christ Jesus. Amen. I don't care who you are, what you look like, your sexual preference, your I don't care what it is. We're all in need of Christ Jesus. So whoever it is outside of the church, if they're not in God's grace, you better be hospitable and kind and loving, and you let them know with love they are welcome to come share in Christ, in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Come as you can come, but God has expectations of His people. So if you're outside of God's grace, it's open to them. It's open to anyone. We are to be hospitable and be His possessions so that we can administer the gospel and let everybody know God has opened it up. And anybody can come and be changed by Christ, through Christ, and in Him. So I want to close with this. Go to chapter 2, verse 4 of Ephesians. Chapter 2, verse 4. I lied. Let's go to us. I'm just gonna, we got time. This is scripture. We can read scripture. Chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1, and we'll read through. It says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But," I love that but "God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God and His rich grace. If we accept it, we can have freedom, spiritual freedom. But if you haven't accepted Christ, we can't have that. Now I'm over here thinking too much. I get in trouble when I start thinking. You and I, and anyone else, if we want spiritual freedom, all we have to do is be in Christ Jesus. And if you're not in Christ Jesus, then today there's an opportunity that you can be. Spiritual liberation. You can be forgiven. You can have the wisdom and knowledge of Christ Jesus. You can have the love. You can be adopted as a son and be an heir of the gospel of Christ Jesus and have this inheritance that He talks about in Ephesians. We can have that. All we have to do is be in Christ, and we have access to everything. There is no law against doing good and love. So if you have a need this morning, and you want to get right with Christ Jesus and be in Him, the time is now, before it's everlasting too late. And if you are a Christian and you just want to tell of the good works you've done, the good works that are happening in your life, and shout for joy and do the praise of His glory, now is the time. If you want to come up, the song of encouragement is sung right now. If you have a need, now's the time.